If you got your Bible tonight, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we'll look at just a few verses there. Now, it's a coincidence, I believe, that this is where exactly where I am with our Ephesians class at school. But I'll go a little bit different direction maybe tonight. I don't know. I might be preaching the same message tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning. You never know. I'm going to start the same place at least. Now, I've got a King James Bible here, and I'm going to read it the best King James I can, which means I'm going to take these and thous and that type of stuff out. So if you go to the store and try to buy one of these, you're not going to find this version, but I'm hopefully careful not to change the meaning, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or I beg of you, I implore you, I'm asking you with great emotion that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, this book of Ephesians is written to saints and faithful. It's not just written to the church at Ephesus. In fact, it probably wasn't written to the church at Ephesus. It was written to the churches of Asia Minor and passed around in that region as a circular type letter. But we find that Paul says, to the saints and to the faithful which are in Christ Jesus. Well, that'd be you and I. And so he later on talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But he's not talking specifically about those. He's talking to every believer here. And I want you to notice, first of all, that he is asking us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Now, the word vocation there is really the same word translated called or there. And he literally says, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Every believer has a calling upon their life. For me, to understand calling, I like to think of it this way. It's a divine invitation from God to participate in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at whatever position and level he's already planned and purposed for you to have. You see, it's his calling. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you, now notice he said, you are called. Not going to be, you are called. And the thing that I love so much about God and his word, and here by the Holy Spirit, Paul goes on, and he gives us some characteristics, or if you will, some points here to make sure that we are walking worthy of the calling. Now, you know, praise God for all of our musicians who are skilled and our singers who are skilled. Praise God for those who are good speakers and that type of thing, those who work with our children, all that type of thing. Praise God for all of those abilities. But I find it interesting here that he never lists ability as one of the qualifications. Most of it has to do with attitude. Attitude. And then how we interact with others. And that's what I want to look at tonight. As Christians, as saints and faithful who are called by God, who have a divine invitation. Remember this year, Mrs. Hagin said, this year we want everyone to get involved at some place, some point. Everyone involved doing something. Well, we already have the invitation from God. So he gets here to verse 2. And he says, with all lowliness and meekness. All lowliness and meekness. Now, lowliness and meekness speaks to humility. Humility. Humble. Or if you're from Texas, humble. Right? To be humble. The Message Bible says, and mark that you do this with humility and discipline. I like this. Not in fits. Praise the Lord. But steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. He says, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. With lowliness and meekness, humility. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 11 with me, if you would. I know that this is an area that is a constant growth, potential growth area, humility. Amen. Now, we're not, I don't want any testimonies. I really don't want you to raise your hand. Don't point at your neighbor either. But I guarantee you, it hasn't been that long ago that you were in a service or you saw something being done and you thought, if it was me, I would do that differently or better. Growth area in humility and lowliness. Because lack of humility says, my way is the only way. Hallelujah. And, you know, one of the great things I think is interesting, and I was talking and listening to Brother Joe Dunnock, who heads up our missions program here at the church and at the ministry, and of course teaches our 3rd-year missions program in the training college. In looking at some statistics, the number one reason people leave the mission field is not lack of money. It's not getting along with the other missionaries. That's the number one reason why people leave the mission field. Now, if I was thinking, I would think surely it had to be money. No, that's not it. It's getting along with other people. So this is a challenge. Why? Because this is the area that the devil has worked his way in to defeat us as the body of Christ. Because Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. If you want to write it down, John 13, verse 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, by how you have love one for another. That's the key to world evangelism right there, us loving one another. But what the devil's done, what has he done? He's gotten us to divide up over all kinds of silly things. You know, well, at our church, we don't want a pink stripe. We're going to start the first church with the orange stripe. Have you ever noticed how many first churches there are all over? See, we constantly are trying to rank ourselves, position ourselves. And if I'm going to be a part of a team, you see, if I'm going to be part of a team of ministry, of a local church, that's what a local church is. It's a team that God has put together to reach and to do whatever God's called them to do. Now, here at Rhema Bible Church, we have a worldwide scope of what God's called us to do. I mean, worldwide. I mean, in many ways, you know, I was talking this morning to someone about this place. This place is a launching pad. Those of you who've been here a while, you know how many people have launched out from this place. God has brought them here. They get fueled with jet fuel of faith. And then all of a sudden he lights them and whoom, they go. And that's great. And God has brought, you know, since the church was established in 1985, God has brought people here from around the world to stay here and be a part. Because, you know, once that launch takes place, you got to rebuild the pad. It takes people being faithful that stay there, that never get to travel to space. But they're just, I tell you, they're just as vitally important as the one sitting up there in the cockpit in the module, right? I mean, everybody doing their part, everybody doing it with excellence. And so I'd say this, the key to us doing this then, as an individual, think about ourselves, is going to be my ability to humble myself with the help of God. Now, I'm not putting it all on me, but with God's help, to humble myself and to get along with you and to love you. Now, Jesus, how many believe Jesus was a success in ministry? Probably somebody good to follow, right? Look at Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, stop right there for a moment. This yoke he's talking about is not the yoke that the anointing destroys. Jesus wouldn't put a yoke on us that the anointing has to destroy, right? So it's not a bondage yoke. It literally means to come be yoked together with me as I'm the teacher, you're the learner. That was a term that was used in those days. You're yoked together. All right, whatever school or college or university or whatever teacher, you're yoked together with them. So he said, come and take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I mentioned before, but a lot of folks haven't heard, I know for years I had read this, and I would just take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and I'd read this next part, but then I'd go, and you shall find rest for your souls, you know, because I'm, you know, I identified, oh, I'm laboring, I'm heavy laden, I need some rest, Lord. All right, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. Thank God. I'm looking for something easy, God. My burden is light. Woo, glory to God. And I miss the whole statement that all of that hinges upon. And it's no mistake, it's right in the middle. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus right there, I believe, just gave us the key to his success in ministry, was his meekness. Now, meekness is not weakness. Okay? Any of you ever been around a horse that you can ride? You know why you can ride that horse? It's become meek. Because if you ever get on a horse that doesn't want you to ride, have you been on that horse? I think I mentioned before that my sister, who's just a few, 18 months or so, well, 20 months younger than I am, in high school age, you know, up in that area, she wanted to get a horse. And so my parents found a horse, and this horse's name was Maybe. Found out why, because maybe you'll stay on, maybe you won't. But the horse was a retired barrel racing horse. And if you got on her and she decided she didn't want you to ride her, she could run and stop on a dime. And you could sail. Or she'd run you under the bushes. I saw my uncle got on her one time, you know, and he knew how to handle a horse, and she'd do whatever he wanted because he could pull. But you know, for young folks, well, in order to ride that horse had to consciously make a decision to become meek and let you ride on top of it. But they were strong. Don't ever forget, that horse is always stronger than you. You know, to care how hard you pull the bit, that horse is still stronger than you. It's yielding itself to you. Well, and the meek person is not weak, but they are yielded. They are yielded. Now, it's not our responsibility to impose meekness on people. It's our responsibility for us to become meek and humble, lowly in heart, to where we defer one to another. Praise the Lord. Now, Matthew chapter 20, look at the attitude of Jesus. He's talking about that. He says, I am lowly and meek of heart. I am humble. Other translations say it that way. I am humble, or I've humbled myself. When we learn that from him, then it becomes easy. The burden becomes light. Because now it's between me and the Lord. You see, I'm not concerned. I mean, I'm concerned about you and that I'm going to love you. I'm going to help you. But I'm not concerned about, well, look at them. You know, people, it's interesting, you know, sometimes when you're in certain positions of authority, and you have to talk to somebody about something, some folks, not all, but some folks, they want to start pointing the fingers at another person. Well, what about them? Well, what about you, Peter? What if I want John to stay alive till I come back again? What's that to you? You follow me. Isn't that what Jesus told Peter? You see, now here in Matthew 20, Jesus is talking, but they're talking about being great. You know, who's going to be the greatest? Let my sons, James and John got their mother to come and talk to Jesus. And, you know, she asked that her sons could sit on his right hand and on the left hand in the kingdom. And Jesus told them, you don't even know what you're asking. And when the other 10, look at verse 24. When the 10 heard, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Notice they weren't moved with compassion. They got mad. James and John are trying to position themselves ahead of us. But you know what? When you've humbled yourself, you're not concerned about position. All you're concerned about is doing what God called you to do. You see, and fulfilling that. And it doesn't matter. Amen? And the other part, but this is here. This is something we grow into. Jesus said, come learn of me. He said, we have to learn how to do this. And he said to them in verse 25, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. Listen to the Message Bible. It is not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Verse 27 from the King James says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. The Message, whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I love this in the Message. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage. Now, I've worked with people, not at Rhema, but I've worked with people in other churches. And we're doing this, you know, and they're always working it, always, you know, playing the game, always trying to get to the place where basically they don't have to do anything. You're doing all the work. They're always, they're not there to serve in the least. Why? They're not willing to lay down their life to free anybody from bondage. Amen? I'm telling you, this is again, I believe, going to be a great key in these last days. When a bunch of folks who don't care if anybody ever knows their name go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
And the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. What was that minister's name? I don't remember. Remember, there was times Jesus, he just walked away. They asked that man, who was this fellow that told you, you know? He goes, I don't know who he was. I don't know if he was right or he was wrong. All I know was I once was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Amen? That's because Jesus didn't come to be ministered to. He allowed himself to ride that donkey in that one day. Why? Because he had to be approved as the Lamb of God to be the sacrifice for all men's sins. He was examined that day as he rode in. And that's why he never defended himself after that. You know, saying he could have called, you know, all those thousands of angels and all that. Well, he surely could have. Jesus never sinned, did he? He didn't do anything deserving of death other than he gave his life.
Amen.
A ransom. Hallelujah. Now, when I look about that, it takes me to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 concerning, wait a minute. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 first of all. Thank you. Before I get to that. Hallelujah. You know, one of the places this shows up in just in a natural area, this lack of humility, this lack of meekness, are all of us who before we had children made bold statements of absoluteness on what our children would do and wouldn't do and what we would do, blah, 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 blah. If you don't have children, learn the vocabulary of silence. And keepeth thou a mouth closed, because you don't know. Right? Well, listen, you know, how many of you got a Bible there with you, right? You got a Bible? That's great. Praise the Lord. We're so blessed in this country, really. I've done pastors' conference where not one pastor had a Bible. Didn't have a Bible. They're taking notes feverishly. You realize right then, I better be preaching what's in the Bible and not my opinion, because these folks are going to go back and tell other people that's what the Bible says. Lord Jesus, help me. It is amazing. We're so blessed here. But I found this, just because a person has a Bible and can read the Bible and can know some things about the Bible, that doesn't qualify them to decide what the pastor should do in the church. Right? You know, it'd be like me coming to wherever you work, whatever you do. How many of you have your own business in here? Let me see, just raise your hand. You, praise the Lord, several of you. That's awesome. If I showed up at your business, okay, you know, and I started giving you advice and my opinion on how you should be running your business and you should be doing this and doing that, you know, what would you tell me? Now, dear brother, we love you, but you don't have any idea. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we better get 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here. I'll really get to meddling if I don't. But you know, we working together. Paul, notice what Paul said. He, in verse 2, he said, I have fed you with milk. First Corinthians 3, verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are carnal. Whereas there is envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Every time I divide myself from another member of the body of Christ, I have allowed envy and strife and carnality to enter in. Now, I can't help it if you want to divide yourself from me. But I'm going to tell you, I'm doing my best not to divide myself from others. Now, that doesn't mean I won't unfollow you on Facebook, because the temptation to type something and post it on your page is way too great. So I just unfollow people sometimes. I'm still friends with you. How many of you like me? You type stuff a lot and hit exit, right? Don't ever send that. Don't ever send that. Now notice what he says. For you are, verse 4, for while one says I'm of Paul, other I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Notice this. Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plant, or neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God gave the increase. What did Paul just say there to us, brothers and sisters? We're not anything. If it's not all God, it's not worth doing. Now, do you have your part to play? Yes. But we're talking about attitude here. Attitude here, right? I'm talking about being able to work that way. See, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10 here to end up here. I don't have to compete with you. Amen. All right? I don't have to compare myself to you. It's not a competition. And it's not, you know, well, I'm of this or I'm of that. We say, well, we don't do that. Oh, yeah, we do it all the time today. All the time. And like somebody said, you know, we're always wanting to, I heard a minister of the gospel, you know, he was a famous evangelist in a certain denomination, and he got to a place of in life and ministry where he really sought God, and he got filled with the Spirit of God, and people started wanting to, and they're all wanting to, he said, please, I heard him say it, I was at a service when he said it, he said, would you all please quit branding me this or calling me that, because every time you tag me, you prejudice me against somebody else. And then he made this statement. He said, folks, all of our religious tags, all of our denominational tags, everything you want other than that we are Christians is either going to fall off on the way up or burn off on the way down. It's not going to make a difference in eternity, is it? So let's not divide ourselves up over these things, all right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We don't need to divide ourselves. We don't need to compete with one another. See, the servant of the Lord is not concerned about being exalted. What does the Bible say? If you humble yourself, who will exalt you? God will exalt you in due time. Isn't that right? God. Now, I don't know about you. I think God probably knows how to exalt. Would you think? You know, I might. And the Bible says he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, I might think, I want to exalt myself to that position, and he can do exceeding abundantly above that. But if I'm doing it, he has to take his hand off and can't get involved. And then we look around for God, and where's God? Well, he's back there where you were when you were in a lowly and meek place in your thinking. Now, I'm not talking about not being bold and declaring I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not talking about that type of stuff. We're not talking about false humility. Humility always knows, speaks, and acts upon the truth about itself. Jesus was meek and lowly of heart, yet notice the things that he said. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then concerning the works and actions he did, he said, oh, the Father in me, he does the works. That's right. You see, the meek and lowly servant knew who he was, but he also knew where the glory should go. Amen? Now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, I'm just going to start this in the Message Bible, okay? He says, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they're our superiors. We wouldn't dare do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point. We aren't making outrageous claims here. We're sticking to the limits of what God has set for us. But there can be no question that those limits reach to you and include you. In other words, came to Corinth and preached to them when no one else had. We're not moving into someone else's territory. We're already there with you. We were already there with you, weren't we? We were the first ones to get there with the message of Christ, right? So how can there be any question of overstepping our bounds by writing or visiting you? We're not barging in on the rightful work of others, interfering with their ministries, demanding a place in the sun with them. What we're hoping for is that our lives grow in faith and you'll play a part within our expanding work. And we'll all still be within the limits God sets as we proclaim the message in countries beyond Corinth. But we have no intention of moving in on what others have done and taking credit for it. If you want to claim credit, claim it for God. What you say about yourself means nothing. Nothing in God's work. It's what God says about you that makes the difference. That's powerful right there, isn't it? Listen to this from the New Living Translation. Now see, this is why, how many of you, there's been a lot of folks, you know, there was 12 disciples of Jesus, right? We know what happened to Judas, but there's others. But we really don't read a whole lot about a lot, but boy, we know the name Paul, don't we? Do you see his attitude though? He's not competing. He wasn't competing with Peter. Dear God, he wasn't competing. You know, there's been movies and different things written about how they weren't competing with one another. If they were competing with one another, Paul never would have withstood Peter and corrected him to get him back in line with the Word of God. He'd have just let him go on in his error. You see, and Paul was the only one that was in a position to bring that. If you see your brother sin a sin, what does it say? Your brother overtaken in fault, you with your spiritual restore such a one. Not boot them out, or as Pastor Bill said the other night, shoot them, you know, because they're wounded. Bang, you're dead. Just get out of the way. No. New Living Translation, verse 12. Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of God, of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We are not reaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you as we had never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Now, I will say this. Because, you know, we have, again, like I say, I think this is the best church in the world because of you. I love preaching here because of you. I find it interesting, Paul said, we're not thinking about expanding until you grow. In other words, Paul said, look, if there's no growth, we'll stay here right here. Because our purpose is not expansion. It's your growth. You see the attitude there of the servant? It's about you. Now, we're believing that you're going to grow. And when you grow, we'll be able to expand to others. But we're not going to go beyond this. We're going to stay here right with you. Glory to God. Amen. Growth in others. He didn't say, as we grow and mature as ministers. He said, as you who we're ministering to grow, will expand. That's powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 16, then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places beyond you, where no one else is working. Then there will be no question of our boasting about work done in someone else's territory. You know, that's one thing we ought to look at as Christians. If someone's already doing that work in this territory, go find one where they're not doing the work. What do we need? Why do you need me there if you're already doing it? Amen. As the scripture says, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. When people commend themselves, it doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them. Glory to God. You know, Paul talked about, you know, we ought to not be criticizing other people's servants and criticizing that. And God's servants, he said, God's able to make them stand. Let him judge him. Now, there's two types of judgment. There's judgment to condemnation. And we're not supposed to judge that way. Now we are supposed to judge or examine the fruit and examine things. There's that type of judgment, which involves discernment. It's total difference. We are to discern certain things. All right? As I'm speaking tonight, the Holy Spirit should be helping you discern that's of me or that's not of me. Not of me, Tad, but of me, the Holy Ghost, or me, God. Discernment. We should all have that discernment. All right? Now, you know, I'm not endeavoring to give my opinion tonight. I'm endeavoring to follow the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. But no one other than Jesus has ever been perfect at that yet. So you understand? That's why God has given us the Holy Ghost, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Him, of God. We should all have that discernment. Well, another word for that is judgment. But then for me, to go to the in the ditch on this other side of the road, see, is the problem that I think we get into, and I include myself, is tend to judge someone with condemnation. Now you realize if I bring condemnation into it, I cannot be of God. Turn over to Romans 8, let's look at it. If I bring condemnation, if I condemn you in any way, I cannot be operating by the Spirit of God. I am in the flesh. Let's look at this. Scripture plainly says this here to us. That's why he said, if your brother is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. He didn't say condemn. All right? Now, where does the judgment come in there? In discerning how to restore. Judging what's been done here. What are the areas? How can we restore this person? And then how can we build into their life, helping them so that they don't fall again in this area? Right? Now he says here in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no. Everybody say the word no. I don't know where you're from, but that means nothing. No thing, nothing, no. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if I'm looking at you and I'm walking in the Spirit, I can't condemn you because that's not of the Spirit. That's of the flesh. Now see, we read that personally for ourselves, and we should. And examine, we're all supposed to examine ourselves whether or not we be in the faith. And am I walking according to my flesh here? Am I walking according to my Spirit? But then again, looking at something that's been done, am I judging that? Am I discerning that according to the Spirit or according to my flesh? All right? I find it interesting in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 11, Jesus goes into the city of Jerusalem. He looks round about, he's in the temple. He's looking at everything. All right? Now, on the way in, he wanted to go eat figs off that tree that had leaves, and there weren't any figs. And he said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. He went in the city, into the temple, looked around all over. Okay? They went back out of the city. And in Mark's account, he comes back the next day and runs everybody out. Why? Jesus is not going to react in the flesh. He's going to react according to the Spirit. Right? He never sinned, did he? Never missed it one time, did he? Amen. Now, I know if it had been me, I'd have gone in there and, you know, just tore the place up and then tried to call fire down on them. You remember when James and John tried to call fire down? Jesus has said, we've got to get to Jerusalem. So Jesus didn't want to preach in Samaria. I've got to go to Jerusalem. They go in. They were the front people. They went in and said, hey, Jesus is coming. The prophet from Nazareth is coming. Come out and hear him. Hear the words of God. Hear what this prophet has to say. And people would come out and hear. They go, nobody wants to come. They're like one fellow told me one time, this city's gospel hardened. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. They're just hard. They don't want to hear it. He was pastoring a church. He was having a Gideon revival. People were leaving in masses. You know, Gideon had thousands and ended up with 300, you know. And I asked him, I said, well, dear brother, first of all, okay, I don't know that there's anybody that's too hard for the gospel, but I'll take, you know, I'm not from that, I don't know. I said, I said, so let me ask you, what's the latest, here recently you said people leaving, what have you been preaching on in your church? Sin. That's what he told me. And he said it just like that. Sin. What about it? That we're delivered from it? No, that we got to quit doing it. I said, well, yeah, I agree with that, but don't you have anything else you can preach on? No, these people are hard. They just live in sin. That's all they want to do is I'm preaching on sin. I said, so let me guess. They're all sinning, right? Well, of course, yes, you know, and they're not all, but you know how that gets. Everybody. Absolute statements. Bless his heart. I felt such compassion for him. I did ask him, I said, when's the last time you were in the pulpit and you smiled? And he looked at me like, you're supposed to smile? You know? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But condemnation is not part of it. And so in getting in this idea of walking worthy of the calling, let's come back to that and finish up here. Walking worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith I'm called in all lowliness and meekness. What is my attitude to be? First, I gotta have the attitude of the servant who am not there for my benefit. I'm not there to be ministered to, but to minister or to serve. I'm not there to be served. I'm not there to make a name for myself. I'm not there to compete with anybody else that's there. I'm there to be a part. Praise the Lord. And I don't care. You know, I don't care if everybody else gets mentioned. If everybody else, you know, gets an award and I don't get it, as long as people grow. See, I'm not looking because you see, how many of you know this? People, can make mistakes sometimes, and they don't count right sometimes. And they forget sometimes. But we have a rewarder in heaven who will never, ever, ever, ever forget. And he said, there's nothing that you have done that he will forget than when you've done it good. Hebrews chapter 6. He's going to take care of you. And you know that, you know what? That little medal they give you, or that little pin they give you, or that little certificate they give you, you'll be in eternity one day and you'll realize that thing, what happened? It burned up. It doesn't even last. But this is lasting. Amen? Amen. So I'm not there to be lifted up. I'm not there to draw attention. I'm there to help and to fulfill the calling and walk worthy of that calling. You know, there's so much to this. That's why Paul said, if you take of the cup or of the communion table and you do it unworthily. Well, he's talking about how discerning the Lord's body, they're working with one another. My wrong attitudes towards my brothers and sisters in Christ. No. God chose us all in Christ. Amen. We're adopted in his family. We're brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters don't get to choose their brothers and sisters. That's the responsibility of the parents, even naturally. But we are to love one another as family. Amen. You may do things differently than me, and that's fine. That's all right. But we can work together. Because I'm going to serve you as we're serving others. And who's going to get the glory? Jesus is going to be lifted up. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for your mighty, precious word tonight. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk worthy of the calling that you've given us. Father, I thank you that in this place tonight, men and women, called of God, gifted with the ability which you give, the grace that you've given each and every one of us. Father, I just ask that you'd help us. You cause this word to rise up and live big within us, that we would discern within ourselves whether or not we be in the faith, whether or not we are walking according to your word. Help us all to develop. Teach us, as you said, Jesus, that we might learn of you to be meek and lowly of heart and to take that yoke upon us, Father. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If our prayer teams go ahead and come, please praise the Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're here tonight and you want prayer for anything whatsoever, men, come to the men over here on my left, your right, ladies to my right and your left, and they'll pray with you according to the word of God, because that's where results come from, God's word. Amen. It can be trusted. It can be acted upon. All right. Do we have any first-time guests, Brother Bill? Nobody was here first time? Well, make sure that you greet one another, that your family that's here tonight, let them know that you love them, and you can be dismissed. God bless you.